The message today is Advancing the Kingdom, Part 5. Advancing the Kingdom, Part 5. In Job chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, it said, "There was a man in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East." He was not only the greatest in the eyes of the world, but even in the eyes of God at the time. He was a man who blessed God, who loved God, who followed God. And not only that, but he was blessed materialistic also. He was blessed with materials. And translating all of that, sheep and donkeys and all of that, that would multiply into millions upon millions upon millions of dollars today. He was a man who was greatly blessed. Why? Because this was a man who had integrity. This was a man who had love, all directed to God. All directed to God. He knew that the blessings in his life, his wife, his children, everything came from the hand of God. Now, there is one individual that will take notice of this, and I want you to understand, because when we speak about advancing the kingdom of God, Satan understands the command that God has given to the church to advance his kingdom. There was one individual who was watching, and it was Satan. Satan keeps an eye on people who do not belong to him. He does not need to worry about people he already owns, people who have not given their lives to him, to Jesus, that is. And so to those who love the Lord, who follow God, Satan looks at you and he waits for an opportunity to pounce on you. And if you read in the rest of the scriptures, it says here that God told Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Meaning, have you looked at him? Because see, God had also asked Satan, "Where have you been?" Like God did not know. He knew. Satan said, "Oh, to and fro, here and there, roaming around the world. This morning I had a dream." And like I said, for many of you, I haven't had too many dreams, but here lately the Lord has been bringing my dreams back to me. I had a dream that I was in my house and that I had family there with me, and we were walking around, and there was a lion in my house. And it was just walking around, and I was looking at this lion. I'm telling you, this is a dream I had this morning. And I'm looking at this lion, and the lion was friendly, and the lion seemed tamed. And, you know, but everywhere we went with loved ones into different houses of the rooms of the houses, we did not really want that lion to follow us, because we just knew that there was more to the story. And everywhere we would go, we would be looking like, is that lion coming in? Is he gonna? And it was like a house cat. It was all friendly and purring and just wanted to be nice and wanted to be close with the family. Now, let me just tell you this. You see, the Bible says that Satan roars about the earth like a lion. He walks about the earth like a roaring lion, looking who he may devour. And you see, Satan, the kingdom of Satan, every opportunity that this kingdom of Satan has to pounce on you, it will follow you. It'll be in your house. It's in the form of things that are on your TV, on your cell phone, things of books that you bring into your house, you name it. And so these things will follow you in your house. And the Bible says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. You see, these things could look innocent to you. These things could look harmless to you. And you see, that's what sin is like. It's like a little kitten, a little baby lion that you would hold in your hands, and it's harmless. And it may roar and growl and try and scratch you, but it's a kitten. It's a baby lion. But the more you handle that, the more you give it time to be in your hand, it grows and grows and grows. And a year down the road, that little kitten will turn into a young lion, and it will devour you. And that's the way sin is. Sin will be in your life. It will follow you in your home. It will be there, and it will seem innocent. It will seem like, this is okay. There's nothing wrong with this. But over time, it will destroy you. and you got to be mindful of what is in your house. You got to be mindful. And it was just a reminder to me, keep watch of your house. Keep watch. You see, that's what a good father does. A good father will call on his children and say, are you okay? Everything all right? Look, I'm trying to give you wisdom, insight on this, on that. And if you pay attention to the Father, our Heavenly Father, you will have life. You'll pay attention, you obey, you follow. This was Job. Job was a man who did everything his way. No, God's way. You see, it's God's kingdom. And let me just tell you this. Job was about building God's kingdom, not his kingdom. And so that is why, listen, please, listen carefully. That is why God allowed Satan to attack Job, because Job was building God's kingdom, not his. And so God is in control of all of this life. And God says, I know Job. I've invested the very best in Job. I know that I can glorify my name through Job. God was boasting in his earthly son. And that is what God wants to do with you. He wants to boast in you. Are you giving God something to boast about? Are you honoring God? Do you have integrity? Do you have love? That's what I want to talk about. That is what is required to advance the kingdom of God, integrity. Now, I want to read to you, and so that way we don't get confused about this, but integrity, when we think about integrity, here's the biblical definition of integrity. It's the practice of being honest and showing a consistent and uncompromising adherence to strong biblical values, to the Word of God, to morals, and to ethical principles and values. In ethics, integrity is regarded as the honesty and truthfulness or earnestness of one's actions. And so, integrity is something that we have to have in our relationship with the Lord. Joseph would not sin against God because he had integrity and he had love for God. Amen? And Job did not sin. Look, Job 1:20. When we go to Job 1:20, a lot has happened in Job's life already. His children are dead. The enemy came. God gave the enemy permission to come and attack Job, but do not take Job's life. And Job lost all his children. Why? His children were in a house partying, having fun. They did not have that relationship with God. They were grown adult children. And for you Christians, some of you, you have grown adult children, and all you can do is pray. And that's all Job would do. The scripture said that he would offer sacrifices to God towards his children because he knew that they were sinning against God when they would have these parties. And one day, all of his children are together, and chapters 1 and 2, it records that a strong wind came and knocked the whole house down, and all of his children were wiped out in a single swipe. And Job was heartbroken. Job lost all his animals. He lost everything. I mean, and not only that, but physical sickness came upon him. Did he do anything wrong? Absolutely not. No. But this was a test. God will test you and the devil will tempt you. And in Job 1:20 through 22, it says, then Job arose. He tore his robe. He shaved his head and he fell to the ground and he worshiped. You hear that? He didn't fall to the ground and suck the dirt, let his tears be wiped by the dirt. No, he worshiped. He worshiped God. And verse 21 says, and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God with any wrongdoing. I believe a lot of us at one time or another may have charged God with wrongdoing. God, don't you understand? God, don't you know what I'm going through? Look, let me tell you what God's business is all about. You want to hear it? It's about advancing his kingdom. That is what God's business is all about. You see, what gets in the way is us wanting to advance our kingdom. Because you find that in Adam and Eve. Satan said to Eve, if you will just eat of this, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You see, there was another agenda. It was another kingdom that was being introduced to God's creation. And if God's creation goes another route, then this is what happens. And this is what we have today. And this is the struggle that you have. You have to make a decision. Because you see, you could have said in the garden, if I was there, I wouldn't have eaten of that. But are you doing God's will today? Because if you're not, you would have been just like Eve. Now, many of you at one point or another were doing your own kingdom, building, having your own agendas. And that's changed. You've been saved by the blood of Jesus. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're advancing his kingdom. And you need to boast about that, guys. You're too silent about that, okay? You need to get vocal about this. You need to start praising God in the rooftops. Amen. You need to be in the grocery store and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You need to start getting vocal about this. Because there's people out there that will be blessed by your testimony. Amen, Brother Keith. There's people that will be blessed out there by your praises to the Lord Jesus Christ. Job admitted, hey, this hurts. I don't care about my hairdo, about my clothes. I don't care how I look. It hurts. But I'm still going to worship the Lord. In Job 2, 9 through 10, his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But Job said to his wife, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. He said, what's wrong with you, woman? Do we only bless God when he's good? Let me give you this bit of truth the Lord gave to me when I read this the other day. You can write this down. And this is for you and me. Sometimes those closest to you can say and do the wrong things in the midst of a satanic attack. Yes. Sometimes those closest to you can say and do the wrong things in the midst of a satanic attack. Now, God did not put judgment on Job's wife, because if you know the whole story, later on, Job and his wife end up having more children, and they're blessed. You see, sometimes those closest to you can make a mistake and say or do something that is against God. But God in his mercy, and God in his knowing the beginning and the end, he had mercy on Job's wife, because his wife continued in the journey with Job. Now, let me tell you this. God has a plan and a purpose. And sometimes we may fail God. Sometimes we may say or do something that is not God's will. But we have to understand that we have to ask God, give us the attitude you have, God, towards us when we are foolish, when we speak foolish things, when we do foolish things. See, that's where love comes in. This is where integrity. See, his wife knew that what was holding up Job was his integrity. He says, are you still holding fast to your integrity? Meaning to your relationship, to your faithfulness, to your consistency with God? Are you still going to hold on to those things? I look around the land today, so many have lost their integrity in the house of God. Amen. This is Satan. This is a satanic attack. And Job, he called her on it. He says, you're foolish. But he still loved her. He still stayed in relationship with her. And I'm sure she came around. Amen? Yes. You must have integrity. And you must have love for the Lord. Because if you don't have love for the Lord, your love towards anything else won't matter at all. Period. I remember when I was 16 years old in a church down the road from here, I was sitting there listening to this preacher preach, and he said, men, if you don't love your wives, and I've said this before, he said, men, if you don't love your wives, As much as you love Jesus, more than you, if you don't love Jesus more than you love your wives, he goes, then you don't love your wife at all. And I'm thinking, what? Where in the heck does that come from? What's the Jesus and wife love and have got to do with all this? It has everything to do. The Bible says God is love. Amen. And you cannot give something if you don't have God. You cannot give love if you don't have God. You must have the love of God in you. You must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look, genuine, okay? Look, not just say Jesus is Lord. The devil says that too. The devil says that too and believes it, that he is Lord. But we all know where the devil's going. And there's a lot of people in the church. There's a lot of people in society. Praise God, Jesus is Lord. But do they really believe that? Are they willing to sacrifice their life for that? Jesus said, if you'll lose your life for his sake, you'll find life. What is the obstacles in your life that's stopping you from walking with Jesus wholeheartedly? What is it? You can't blame anybody else. This has to be between you and Jesus, because that's Satan's greatest thing, is when he allows you to look at someone else's faults for the reason why you're not right with Jesus. And why am I talking about this? This is why I'm talking about this, because this is the number one thing that Satan uses to attack God's people to stop advancing his kingdom. Think about what had happened if Job had said, if cursed God. What would have happened if Job had did what Job's wife asked him to do? What would have been the outcome? Think about it. Satan would have been able to go before God and say, ha, you were wrong, God. But God is never wrong. Amen. And we must never be wrong about God. God is greater than your greatest addictions right now in life. And you? You need to prove it. Surrender it today so you can be a part of this end time harvest of advancing his kingdom. Sometimes those closest to you can say and do the wrong things in the midst of a satanic attack, and you must forgive them or you will not be forgiven. You must love them or you will not be loved by the Lord. I'm telling you, because to be forgiven by God is to be loved by God. Integrity. Now, love. In Revelation 2, 1 through 7, Jesus speaks to seven churches, and he speaks to church number one, and in these seven churches, Jesus begins to identify the good and the bad in these churches. And here is the first thing that Jesus finds wrong with the churches. It says here in Revelation 2, 1 through 7, Jesus says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these things, he says, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. This is Jesus. Verse 2, Jesus says, I know your works, church. I know your labor. I know your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles, preachers, you know what I'm saying? And they're not. And you have found them out to be liars. Verse 3. And church, you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Verse 4. But nevertheless, I have this against you, church, that you have left your first love. Jesus is telling this church, and I believe that so much of the church in America is like this today. We know what to do, right, ministry team? We know the order, the procedures. We know how to do this, how to do that. We know all these things. We labor hard. We know it's in the name of Jesus. We know how to persevere. We know we need to pray. We know we need to do this and all that. But guess what? Somewhere along the line, Christian, and doing all of that, you still can lose your first love. You have left. Verse 4, you have left your first love. Christian, who is your first love?
Jesus.
You can do all this stuff in Christianity, but if you neglect that relationship with Christ and understand that all you do is unto the Lord, not to men, let me read the next verse. He says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. You're a Christian, and here's the Lord telling you, repent. Why? You've done all these good things, but you've left your first love. You've left Jesus. And now you're doing good things, but not in the name of Jesus anymore. Not for the sake of the advancement of his kingdom anymore. You do it, and there's no power, in, no Holy Spirit power in it. I know I've been guilty of that. And Jesus is telling the church, repent, or I will remove the light from you. Repent. You see, that's a message that Jesus brings into the church. Repent. Well, we did repent of our sins, Jesus. Repent. Because we as Christians, we get saved. We get baptized in the water. We come to church. We sing the songs. We'll serve the Lord for a while. But then we get sucked right back into the world. And why is the Lord saying repent? Why? Because if you die in that place of need of repentance, what will happen to your soul? What will happen to you? God is faithful. God will do everything he can to bring you back to where you need to be to advance his kingdom. Because let me tell you this, God is about advancing his kingdom. Jesus brought his kingdom to this place. The kingdom of God is here, it's now, it's in you, Christian. You are ambassadors of Christ. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Understand this, Christian. When you speak biblical truths from the pulpit, from your life, you will be made fun of, you will be hated, you will be persecuted, and guess what? The Satan will also attack you to put you up for failure. And some of you have failed, will fail, but you get back up and you keep advancing his kingdom. You keep doing it with integrity and with love. Verse 6, he says, but this you have, he tells the church, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. See, we could recognize false doctrine in the churches. And Jesus is saying, that's good, you could recognize that, but you need to repent. Verse 7, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Meaning, you will go back to perfection one day. When Adam and Eve were perfect, when they were told to only eat from the certain trees and not the tree of good and knowledge of good and evil, God is going to restore things. God is going to make all things back to new to where he originally had it. Doesn't that bring joy to your heart? Amen. I mean, this world we live in is only temporary, but yet we are allowing temporary things to get in the way of eternal things. So many of us Christians, we're looking like the world. We're adopting the customs of the world. And look, if you adopt the customs, you'll adopt the attitude. And when you adopt the attitude, you have the customs. You're in a bad place. You're in a bad place. Look at American society, for example. They're all about their own kingdoms. Idolatry. Selfies. Why? To promote themselves, how they look, what they're all about. Walking all over each other to get to that top of the hill, to advance their careers. Is that what life is all about, Christian? Absolutely not. Job said it perfectly. I came naked into this world, and I'm going to leave naked. The pharaohs of Egypt, they all thought they could take their gold and silver and everything with them. They were buried deep in the ground with all of these artifacts and things. Yet it sits in museums all over the world today for the whole world to see. You don't take anything with you. They thought they were wise to build their great pyramids when it was all foolishness. And so many of us are building our pyramids. So many of us are building our kingdoms because we want to look like the world, because we want to act like the world. Guys, isn't this really reaching out to you right now? Mothers, fathers, look, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not in fear But I look to my grandson. I look to the little kids in this church and to our school. You have no idea the evils they're up against. You have no idea the evils they're up against. The abominations that they face every day in school. This is death, guys. I feel like it just goes in one ear and out the other. Because I see less and less people on fire for the Lord. I see less and less people, you know, having that attitude, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's share the gospel of Jesus. Let's go out there and let's start praying with people. It's all about just working and coming home and eating and just, what are we doing? Just going through the motions of the day. And if that's all our life is about, man, we're quenching the Spirit of God, because this is what Scripture says. Those who have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Meaning the Holy Spirit will speak to you, Christian, if you're wanting to listen. He'll give you direction. He'll give you instruction. He'll give you power. He'll give you authority. Why? Because you have integrity for Jesus. Because you have love for Jesus. Yeah. Luke 12:16-21. Then Jesus spoke a parable saying to them, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he, says Jesus, who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Building your own kingdom, bigger houses, bigger barns, bigger and more cars. There's nothing wrong with having a nice home, nice vehicles, nice things. There's nothing wrong with those things. Job had all of that. Understand that. Job had that. But Job also blessed God. A lot of what was coming in, there was a lot that was going out as well. He was a blessing. He was a light in his community. Let me tell you this. Look, if you were to die, would it affect other people? Would it hurt other people? This past Tuesday, my brother in Christ, Brother Cayaso, he died. 39 years old. Now listen, you're all going to die one day or another. Amen? You're all going to die. You don't know when. Many people know the story about my brother, Eric Cayaso. I've known him since about almost 20 years. I knew him almost. One of the greatest musicians, worship leaders I've ever known. The man knew how to touch the hem of Jesus' garment with his music. I'm telling you. I played a couple services with him back in 2005. And I just, man. I mean, to a guy just led by the Holy Spirit. No planned songs, no nothing. Just get up there and just start singing. He would create songs right in the midst of a service. Lyrics, music, everything. He would just create songs right in the midst of it. I'm like, where'd that come from? That's a new song. He was just worshiping. I'm telling you. But Eric temporarily lost his way. He ended up going to prison. And for 8 years, he sat in prison. But 8 years, it was that God was dealing with him. He never stopped worshiping the Lord. And I know it hurt his family to be gone from his family for 8 years. But Eric learned a powerful lesson in prison. I know, because this is what he told me. And I know he wouldn't mind me sharing this with you. He learned powerful lessons of why he was there in prison and what he needed to do. And you know what he did, what God wanted him to do? And that was to make things right. Make things right with God, make things right with his family, and make things right with the church. And it is exactly what he did. God is not about condemning you. He's about redeeming you. Because he's about advancing his kingdom. God can advance his kingdom with broken people. That's what he does every day. And you are all broken. I am broken. But he will use you, and you will find strength, and you will find peace in following his ways. There is no other way. If you don't follow Jesus and walk faithfully according to his ways, you will never have peace. You will never have joy, and you will never have eternal life. Because Jesus is the only way. It's not Buddha. It's not Allah. It's not family tradition. It's the way of Jesus Christ. Now, he got out of prison in 2021, and for 2.5 years, nobody knew that Eric could preach. He came out preaching. You know, this is a worship leader. He didn't preach. Now he's preaching. And now he's a pastor. Takes up the English congregation of his dad's Spanish church. Oh, glory to God. I would watch Eric on Facebook Sunday night sometimes. I'd come across it on Sunday nights and listen to him. Praise God, he's preaching. Man, I'm so proud of him. I'm proud of him because I know the details. I know where he went. I know what happened. And here you see him preaching in his dad's pulpit. And I'm proud of this boy. I'm proud of what he's become. You know, I took him for a ride in my Mustang when he got out of jail. He goes, man, God is good. He told me, he goes, just 24 hours ago, I was sitting in a jail cell in Huntsville. And now here I am sitting in this hot rod Mustang. He said, God is good. I'm like, yeah, man. I mean, you know, praise God. And whatever you have, use it for God's glory. I'm able to talk to a couple of young guys by using my Mustang as a tool to talk to them about them knowing who Jesus is. And, you know, over the course of the next 2.5 years, I'd talk to Eric and I would encourage him, and he would keep in touch. He said, hey, Happy Father's Day, Pastor. Well, thank you, Eric. You know, you remembered me, man. Happy birthday, brother. Oh, thank you. He remembered, you know. He was so busy. He was so busy. He would do services 4 nights a week. Sunday morning, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, night services, full-blown services. Man was advancing his kingdom. The church was growing. People were coming. And yet he was working a full-time job. And on last Tuesday, he had been sick. Told him he needed to go to the doctor. He didn't go. Got sick and had a couple of seizures, and he died right there in his front yard. But right before he died, he said something powerful. And this is for the glory of God. But he saw Jesus and he said, Jesus. And he died. And I share that with you because I know, though it's personal, and it came from his father to me, but this is for the glory of Jesus. And that's only why I share that with you, because Jesus gets glory in what Eric said. Jesus. He had 2.5 years to advance the kingdom. He was already doing it in the prison. And maybe he should have died in the prison. But biblically, we know God can grant extra years to our life. And maybe that's what he did with Eric. I'll give you 2.5 more years to make up with your family and your friends and everybody. And then I'm going to come get you. And if you follow the plan of the Lord, it'll all work out. Now, he comes from a very strong family. He comes from a very strong Bible preaching church. And I want you to keep Pastor Erasmo Callazo and his family in prayer, and all the Faith in Action, Fe en Acción in Spanish, congregation. Keep them in prayer because they need it. They're hurting tremendously. But that's advancing the kingdom. That's advancing the kingdom of God. Let me read this to you in 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. And of all light of everything I've just said, let me read this to you. In 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, it says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." And go to verse 12 through 19. Peter goes on to say, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange things have happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blaspheming, but on your part, God is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." And Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. A final word: be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Yes, evil spirits in heavenly places. Evil spirits in the church too. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Now I want to break that down to you before we break for lunch. Number one, the armor of God. Number one, what is the belt of truth? What is the body armor of righteousness? What is this? It's a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. The belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. Jesus is your righteousness. When you put on that body armor of God's righteousness, that's Jesus. Romans 3:21, a righteousness from heaven has been revealed, and it's faith in Jesus Christ. What is your righteousness? Jesus. What gives you the right to come before the Father every morning, noon, and night? Jesus. Amen? Jesus is your righteousness. You're going to get to go to heaven because of Jesus' righteousness. He is your body armor. The belt of truth, that is your genuine relationship with Jesus. Not just offering lip service, but having a genuine relationship with Jesus. When they see you, they see Jesus. Or when they see you, they see Kim Kardashian. And I'm not judging her. But that's the world. When they see you, they see Tom Cruise. What? I'm not judging these people, but they're the world. No. Christian, when anybody going to see me, we got to have a desire in our heart that they see Jesus. Amen. Shoes, number two, shoes. What is this, the shoes? Shoes are what you wear when you go walking somewhere. I know we're in Texas. Sometimes you just like to go barefoot everywhere. I don't know about that. But generally, when you go out to work, when you go do what you got, you wear shoes. Why? Because they take you places. And what is this symbolic of? It's the life of evangelism. The life of evangelism will bring peace in your life. Again, when you have shoes, you put it on as the peace that comes from the good news. Well, when you have a life of evangelism, when you're advancing the kingdom of God, you're prepared. You know, somebody knock on your door, hey man, come out here, look what I got. Oh, let me put on my shoes real quick. You're not prepared. Keep your shoes on, keep the gospel on. Be prepared in season and out of season to move, to advance, to proclaim, to testify, to praise God, to worship God. That's the shoes of the gospel. You're prepared. In season and out of season, to give an answer to those who doubt, to those who mock, to those who persecute. Number three, the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? It's believing in Jesus for deliverance. Well, this is just too hard for me to give up. Do you believe Jesus can deliver you? Yes. Then put up the shield of faith. Because if not, you're just a liar and you're mocking the things of God. I believe that God can deliver anybody instantly from anything, period. Because Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. Amen? It is finished. Hallelujah. It is finished. And I know for many years, I doubted God on this. But when you put up the shield of faith, you believe Jesus for deliverance. That is what you're believing Jesus for. Number four, the helmet of salvation. That's the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. The renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The helmet of salvation. When you are saved and set free, that's going to change your mind about everything. You're reborn again. Amen? You see everything in the eyes of God now. And the sword of the Spirit, that's knowing the Scriptures. You must know the Bible. How did Jesus fight the devil? The devil said, if you're hungry, throw yourself off of this place where God will give charge to the angels to save you. And Jesus said, but it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus fought the devil with the word of God. And if Jesus had to fight the devil with the word, we fight the devil with the word. How is that? You get a bad report in life. But the Lord said, stand firm. Stand true. Lift up your head, for your redemption draws near. Keep the faith. Fight the good fight of faith. That's the sword of the Spirit, because it's the word of God, the Bible, that reminds you of what to do in every attack of the enemy. My brothers, my sisters, this is advancing the kingdom of God. This is advancing the kingdom of God. You cannot advance the kingdom of God. All that I've spoken about, the armor of God, integrity, love. We cannot walk away from these things. Guys, look, we are living in the most incredible moment in the history of the world. I believe this with all my heart. Because I see this world is witnessing evil it really has never seen before. We are living in a society where in America alone, what? Because now all so many illegals have crossed the border, we've gone way beyond 400 million maybe. You know, I'm not going to get political here, but let me just tell you this. There are walls on borders for a reason. Because even God has a gate in his kingdom. Even God has a border in his kingdom. Why? Because it's symbolic of what's in, but from what's out. Okay? Now, I believe everybody should have an opportunity to have a better life. I'm for that. Believe me, I'm for it. I'm a sixth generation Texan, but I know eventually my roots go back into Mexico. But, there are people from other parts of the world that are coming here and will one day cause a war within our own borders. We're allowing our freedoms to destroy us as citizens of the United States. The same as a Christian. You will allow your freedom to destroy your relationship with Jesus Christ. It may be you are free to do this, but is it beneficial? Didn't Paul write that? You're free to do this or to do that, but is it beneficial to the body of Christ? Is it beneficial for the advancement of his kingdom? We are living in the most incredible time, Christian, where we will witness the hand of God move. And all I can tell you is get right with the Lord. Get on fire for Jesus, because he's worthy of that. I don't care how tired you are, how young, how old, how weak, how strong. I don't care, because all of those things don't amount to a hill of beans when it comes to walking with Jesus. When you walk with Jesus, it's by his strength. It's by his power. It's by his wisdom. It's by his direction. Amen? Now, yes, we will grow weary. Yes, we'll sometimes want to faint. But you know what? God is faithful to deliver us. It's time to trust God. It's time to allow the Holy Spirit to stir within you a great work to bring it completion. As my brother Eric Iasso said before he died, he looked up and he said, Jesus. He finished his part in advancing the kingdom. And it's your turn. Amen? Amen. Amen.